Hi, everyone. You're listening to In the Open, a podcast by Mental Health America, where we talk all things mental health related.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back. It's Teresa and America.
Hi, everybody.
What's up, people?
So today we're going to talk about therapy isn't working and all that is so complicated about how to make sure therapy works or what happens when it doesn't work.
Yeah, how to make it beneficial because you're spending money.
But this is different from we did the podcast called What to Expect from Therapy.
Yes.
But this is different. It's like, oh, when therapy goes really wrong.
Well, let's identify, like, how would you know that therapy isn't working? Like, have you gotten to this place you're just like, look, I've been to this person, met with them in person, virtually, whatever.
Yeah.
For a month and a half now, and I feel nothing's happening here.
Yeah. I feel really bad because I talk about how hard it is to find good therapy. I can't tell if I'm discouraging people from going to therapy and then I suddenly feel guilt. But it's hard, right? Is it hard or is it just hard for me?
Okay. No. It's hard. It's hard because you know, as an individual that's sought out therapy before, you want to hear like what to expect, because if you encounter something that nobody's told you like has happened, you're like, oh my God, is it me? Am I doing something wrong? Am I like completely missing like the steps here?
Yeah.
And because we need to talk about that kind of like growth process, then I think we're not deterring people from going and seeking help. We're telling people, be mindful of the things that you can encounter, so that if they happen to occur, you're not completely set against actually finding a good therapist.
Yes. Thank you. But also, nobody teaches you. When we talked about what to expect from therapy, it took me going to multiple therapists to realize that I had to learn what to expect in order to interview my therapist. Mm-hmm. And that's a concept a lot of people, like we've talked to people you've mentioned, who they came to the same realization. It was like, you don't think of a therapist as someone you hire and they right. serve you.
They serve a purpose. I really think the way, like, this is how I like to think about it. Before you go to a restaurant, generally we tend to look at reviews, right? We want to see how other people, how their experiences have been with this X restaurant. And that doesn't always happen with, you know, medical professionals, therapists, all that, for various reasons. But we still have various experiences with these people. And it's not only because maybe the therapist doesn't align with your kind of thoughts or whatever. It's also what we're expecting. So you can go listen to the What to Expect from Therapy podcast if that's kind of like, you know, the question that you're having. But today, it's more about you thinking, why isn't this working for me right now? Like, what is happening that I feel that this person is not meeting the expectations that I had? And then asking yourself, yo, maybe it's the person. Maybe it's me.
So what's your experience with what happens here?
Generally, it's like, I'm going to try them out. I've told them what I want. This is why I'm coming to therapy. This is what I'm really looking for. And generally, you build some type of rapport, right? Like, you get a conversation going. If it's hard to have conversations with this person, they're not a good therapist for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a talker. I need to talk. I need you to, like, have conversation. I don't need to just listen.
Oh.
I give it a meanwhile, Teresa's just listening.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I don't want, I also think about it in terms of timeline, right? Like, after two visits, you can maybe get a feel of how you're feeling with the person, but is therapy working after two visits? I don't necessarily think so. I think it takes a longer amount of time anywhere to really feel like the beginning of like feeling better. I would say anywhere like 4 to 6 sessions.
trust is a big thing. So you know how you talked about building rapport, and I have had, I think of two things, a lot of things. When I think of when I first interview my therapist, I think when I talk to you, do I feel weird feelings inside of me? And those weird feelings are the things that make, like, if I get defensive, or if I feel like I'm tightening up, or I'm just like, ugh, what you said bothers me, then I know that these are the things that are going to enter into my relationship with my therapist. And there's just something about the dynamic of the way that we're talking with one another that I'm not going to trust them, right?
Okay. Like,
it's going to be a battle more than it's going to be a flow. There's a physical
reaction to, like, that's pushing you to be like, I can't believe you just said that. But you don't actually say it. You just think it.
And I feel the same way when I meet people who I'm like, are you going to be a cool person, like a friend at a party? Mm-hmm. And the gold is like, you know, when you meet a friend and you're like, oh my God, I want to be your best friend. You know that feeling?
No.
That's so sad. Are you serious?
No, I got you, man. I got you. I'm totally thinking along the same lines.
I felt so sad for you for a second there. Like, but once in a million, you get like that hardcore. But I think of, I have that feeling with a lot of different people, but at like lower levels. Mm-hmm. And that's the same feeling. Like if I, or like the opposite, you meet somebody at a party and you're like, ew, I do not like you. Mm-hmm. It's the same feeling that you have with a therapist. You're like, do I like this person or not like this person? Do we jive or not jive?
Yeah. One of the things though, in that relationship is sometimes I've had to ask myself, do I really not like this person because of their personality, or is it I don't like them because I don't like what they're actually saying to me, which actually is the truth and I actually don't want to hear it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. But that's like, once you get into therapy, and if I know that I basically trust this person and I haven't had a situation where things are off, then yeah, if I don't like it, I do ask that question. Like, am I being resistant to what somebody mm-hmm. is telling me right now? But it's not so easy. Like, sometimes I'm like, am I not ready? Is that why I don't want to do this? Do I not feel like I can share this kind of information with this person? Like, why can I not share? Is it about them? Is it about me?
Yeah. I think there's also another kind of component to it where, like, let's say, this has happened where I've gone to therapy and then I'm talking about something and they're listening and we're conversing, where I think they completely get like this concept. They say something that's like, oh, is that how immigrants feel? And it's like, what? Where'd you get that? Like, what do you mean? And so what I'm saying is like the fact that I thought you and I were like completely jiving and on the same, in the same little car. And I'm like, yo, you're in a totally different lane, man. Yeah. And that's when it's kind of jarring and you're like, oh man, this ain't going to work.
Yeah. I've had a lot of situations with therapists where I whatever I'm doing, then they'll say something that is so off-putting. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That you're just like, what the what? Like,
yeah,
then it puts you on edge because you're like, if it was a friend, you would just call them out on it.
Yeah.
And you would work on it, you know, but if it's a therapist, you don't always feel comfortable calling your therapist out on their crap.
Yeah,
you should be able to with a therapist who you're very close with. I do think that there is that back and forth, and there could be that, you know. I have pushed back on some therapists and they've responded very well to it, and it's helped us get along to the next stage. Mm-hmm. But many therapists, I could tell that they would say something off-putting and I would just be like, I am not going to make that battle. You're making me feel more like a family member who, when I say something, it's just all defensiveness, versus like a friend who can hear criticism and then work with me, right?
I'm just thinking back to other experiences where, so there, maybe they say like an off-putting kind of thing, or what I really thought I was going to get out of this, you know, is an opportunity to feel like some of the weight that I'm carrying the emotional weight. Like, I've left it at, you know, at the session. And I know that after therapy, there tends to be a lot of ruminating, and you're thinking about, like, the things that were discussed and everything that's part of that process. But this goes beyond it, where you're like, I feel like crap because the person maybe didn't validate my feelings. Then I have to do more work than was done in therapy.
Oh, yeah. I do know what you mean. I hate how with a therapist dynamic, then the relationship with the therapist becomes part of what you need therapy for.
Yeah.
I feel this is especially true when I have to think about when to break up with my therapist.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird, like, dynamic when you have to go through that. But what I think is most important is for people to feel like you have a voice and you have the right to advocate, ask for what you need, right? To be able to say, this isn't really what I was thinking about. Or how I thought this process was going. Oh, I know, dude. I ain't saying it's easy. I'm just saying that people have that right.
We do have that right, but we have lots of rights as human beings. I think the real challenge is that when you have a mental health problem and then you compound it with trauma in life, and then you compound it with the fact that you only go to therapy when things are the worst in your life. It's like you're so disempowered in your life. The thinking about being empowered with your therapist is not what most people think about until they're seasoned in, like, the, oh, I've been to my 10th therapist. Then I know now. And it's painful when it's the first time and you don't realize that that's part of the life work, right?
Yeah.
How to stand up for yourself. And so all of that enters in. I do think that the relationships I had with my therapist when I was younger are totally different than the relationships I have now, because I've healed more. I have more ability to say, I am hiring you. I'm telling you what I need.
Yeah.
Whereas before,
you're right.
Yeah, you'll stay in therapy for like a year and be like, I don't know how to break up with my therapist.
Well, tell me a little bit about your experiences when you knew that therapy wasn't working.
If I dreaded the thought of going to see my therapist, dude, that meant I should have broken up with that person a long time ago. And then I'm always amazed at how long it takes me to get to that point. And I recognize that it is because of my own thing, right? Like, mm-hmm. I have a lot of relationships where I stick with them for a long time. Bad jobs, bad relationships, bad therapists. I just say I guess it's totally fine for me to be in bad things and accept badness because that's just normal. Isn't that normal? And you're like, no, man, it's not normal. Like, some people break up with their therapist after 3 sessions. I think that's why I as a therapist myself, when I did therapy, I made it a point to really tell my clients, like, you try me out for 3 days and whatever, and I'm gonna really check in on you. Like, if you don't feel this jazz, I'm gonna work with you to find someone who feels good, you know? That way the pressure is not on the client to be like, oh, is this working or not? And if they're like, I'm not sure it's working, I'm like, don't worry, no shame on you. We're gonna go talk about what makes it better or harder. And like, and I'm not ditching you. I'm opening up this dynamic that I know is very hard. Like, and normally I feel like within 3 or 4 sessions, you should know. You should know. You're going to be okay. Or you're like, nope. That's like dating. Great. By the 3rd date, you're like, bye. I don't want to see you again.
Really, Teresa, I've never had a therapist say that to me. Ever.
Well, they should.
They totally should.
We'll just put it out in the universe that maybe therapists should.
Yeah. You know, like, what you're talking about too is like when you get to the point of dread, like, or you make every single excuse to not go, that's a red flag. But what has happened in your actual sessions that you're, you know, you talked a little bit about, and we talked about, like, the feelings that we get.
I mean, I have had therapists say things to me where they mislabeled my experiences, but the way they did it were so racist.
Oh.
I was like, you clearly don't understand me. And that was weird, right? Because we talk about race sometimes. I'm Asian. I once had a therapist tell me that I was enmeshed with my family. And I wanted to be like, even if I was, dude, what the hell?
Yeah.
I'm Asian.
Like, there's no other way to be.
I am Asian and I am Catholic and I am an immigrant family. Like, we have to be enmeshed for survival. And you're talking about it like it's a freaking bad thing.
Yeah.
And like, I get your point. Like, there are some unhealthy things. But dude, that strategy for how you approach that was so off that now I'm put off by you. So I don't trust you. And then I have to decide, do I say right now, I'm going to work with you to tell you why what you said was super hurtful and I don't trust you? Or do I just like call it quits and be like, this isn't working?
Yeah. And that speaks to conversations that I've had with folks who may identify, let's say, like as queer or trans. And they ask the therapist, well, have you had experience working with queer or trans or LGBTQ plus communities? And the therapist is like, yes. And then they're like, okay, tell me about it. It's like, well, I had a gay client once. And I was like, that's not what I'm asking. Like, that's not what I'm asking at all. I specifically said this, you know? And it goes back to the need for the therapist to be okay in saying, no, I don't know. I haven't had this experience. And being very honest. But I think sometimes therapists are taken aback because of how much more willing individuals are ready to advocate for themselves. And like, have you had experience with this? If you haven't, thanks very much. You don't fit the box.
Totally. And there's a whole, that's part of like problem with training in therapy too, right? There are some therapists who are trained and told things like, if a client asks you a question, you should ask that client a question back. And you're like, what the hell? That is not a genuine relationship. So like, if a therapist is so closed, they can be a good therapist because they have listening skills. But if you don't feel safe because you don't know if that therapist is pro-LGBTQ, racist, whatever, that's a barrier to trust. Mm-hmm. And in therapy teaching schools, they will say, like, if the client asks, like, are you married? Like, people won't answer that question. They'll be like, oh, what? Why do you want to know? Why do you want to know?
Right.
Like, maybe I'm just trying to build a relationship with you, you know? So I do think that it's very interesting when I've asked therapists as part of my interviewing, some of the first things I look for is this person comfortable with being in a really intimate relationship? Or do they just see their role as listening and reflecting me?
Yeah. And that's what I was getting to, like, because the natural progression is that, right? Where you get to this place of you've thought about what you want. You've been in communication with this person for some time. And I say time, let's say 2 to 3 sessions. And the conversation is only me and me relaying my information. And you just kind of sitting there. Then that makes me question is like, well, what actually is happening here? Because I'm not coming here just to get interviewed. I actually want your input. Mm. And some therapists will, from the beginning, will tell you, this is how I work with clients.
See, that's super interesting to me because I have also had periods where I've had therapists who only want to give me advice. Mm. I find that super annoying. Because I didn't always just come for you to tell me everything that's wrong with my life, too. Thank you. I already know what's very wrong for my life. I do also like a therapist who does have listening skills, because I have been in a room with a therapist who I will share something and then they want to like teach me for like 5 hours. And I'm just like, why am I here to listen to you teach me things I can Google?
Yeah. Like I've had, you know, sessions where part of the conversation is like, okay, well, I really want to learn how to do this. And then we may like model like how an interaction would go. But for that to occur in every single session, it's like, no. I also, you know, an interesting thing that just popped in my mind is like how I gauge if therapy is working or not is the emotional toll that it's taking after, during and after the session, where I know I said this a little bit earlier, like when I walk out, I want to feel like something's better, but can I express myself in the way that I am my most genuine self without feeling like I am going to be judged? And that's what you're talking about, like when you're thinking about trust, right, and safe space.
So that's interesting to flip it. Like, how do I know if my therapy is good? I don't always feel better because some very effective therapy sessions are horribly painful. And I come out of it devastated, like our last recording, where I'm like unpacking and I just feel all the emotion of unpacked trauma. Like, I feel devastated and I'm crying, but I feel release. So I don't always feel better. I do feel release. And then over time, I do feel better because I'm like, okay, I'm really working on hard things, but I'm a better person, a better human being than I was 6 months ago. Mm-hmm. And like, and I can say I'm getting in fewer fights. I am sleeping better. I accomplished the thing I wanted to do, which was to understand why I was blowing up about this issue. You know, why was I so defensive? So when I think of what I want, it's super important for me to think about what I want from therapy so that when I go through therapy, I can reflect, did I get what I want? Even if it was imperfect, because now when I see a therapist, for the most part, it's not rare, but when I see a therapist, I'm like, oh God, you're a really good therapist. I get very excited, but I'm also willing to see therapists who I'm not feeling that way because I still get what I want. It's like, this is not a great situation, but I still got what I want for it. So I'm willing to accept and stay in this situation. What I'm not willing to do anymore is stay in a bad therapeutic relationship. Does that make sense? So it's like all a spectrum.
Yeah.
It's like, break up with a therapist where this is bad. You're like, I think that staying in this situation causes me more harm. I'm willing to stay in therapy with therapists who are not great, but I'm still getting what I need. And I really love it when I'm with a therapist who I'm like, this is so great. And it's interesting because I've had friends who have said to me, dude, you need to break up with your therapist, with that middle therapist. Because they're like, go find the one that you feel like you'd really jive with, you know? And it's like, that's so hard though. It takes effort. I'm not willing to put that time in. So I'll just stick with this person, but I'm still getting what I want and need, what I need.
When therapy isn't working, right? And we've talked about several things today. Like, maybe it's tied to your expectations. Maybe it's tied to the fact that the individual doesn't necessarily jive with you and your and what you want, what your personality is. But I think
one about timing in life. We touched on timing.
Yeah, maybe that's where I'm getting. Where sometimes therapy doesn't work because you're not ready to engage in that process.
Yeah, for sure. Right? And the way that the therapist wants to work on that issue is not the way that you're ready.
Yeah, I think that that's an important thing to just kind of sit with for a minute.
Flush out? Okay, yeah. Some examples?
Yeah, because, you know, therapy requires a lot from you because it's an emotional labor. You have to do the work to actually get the benefits, reap the benefits of it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to therapy because like everybody's like, oh, you should go to therapy. You should go to therapy. And you find a therapist and you're like, yeah, I'm in it. I'm doing it. Look, I got a therapy appointment next week. And then you're like, I don't really want to go to therapy. Why am I going to go to therapy for? I don't need it.
I don't know if you felt this misalignment, but I will have misalignments with homework that therapists give me. And they are either misalignments because it's not my personality, and it's also a misalignment because I'm not emotionally ready. Mm-hmm. So and that it doesn't destroy the relationship. In both cases where there were misalignments, I was able to go back and tell the therapist, like, this didn't quite work and here's why. And they were super receptive to it. But like an example was one asked me to do a vision board. You're laughing. I am not creative. I mean, thinking like some people love sitting with a magazine and cutting stuff out. There is nothing more terrifying for me.
Yeah.
So like I basically half asked that assignment and like I basically picked up 5 magazines and brought it with me.
Like I vision YouTube boarded. How to create a vision board.
I vision boarded. I picked up these five magazines. They feel like they resonate with me, you know? Yeah. And then what was the other one? I had a therapist once who was like, you should go sit at a park and look at the children in the park and like envision your inner child. And at that moment, I am not joking you, my immediate reaction was, I'm going to look like a creeper who was staring at children in the park. That, but, you know, over time, I recognized that she wasn't trying to get me to go stare at children. She was trying to get me to work on inner child work, like, you know, like have empathy for your person who you were when you were a little kid. And I was just not ready emotionally. I was like, nope, I'm going to keep beating myself up. Don't even try. I have zero empathy for myself and I'm not going to go there.
See, what that speaks to, though, is not so much as I was going to say, like how well the therapist knows you, but, you know, to get to know somebody, it takes a while, but also maybe listening for things that would resonate better with you, right? Like I've gotten worksheets and they're like, read this and think about it. And I'm like, okay. And then what?
Yeah. You know?
I like, give me some homework, because that's my personality. Like I can do like seven worksheets, but give me like an outcome that is supposed to come from this.
Yeah.
And that would be so much better, right? You tell me to do a vision board, I'm like, yo, that's a Saturday for me. I'm chilling. That's not going to do anything, you know? So you're right. Like it requires for the therapist to be paying attention, but also for you to understand, am I really at this place where I can handle
what's being asked?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like my therapist right now, I have two therapists right now. I'm extra special deep in it. But my personal therapist, she's like, I think you should really do EMDR. And a part of me is like, I told her and I'm glad that I have the strength today to stand up for myself, like you said. And I was just like, I'm not ready for that.
What's EMDR? So people know.
EMDR is eye movement, rapid desensitization. So it's like, it's a form of processing through your trauma, which should retrain your brain. It just feels like a very intimate action. So it requires a lot of readiness and willingness to disclose and trust your therapist and walk through this process. But it also requires letting go of a lot of control. Like my therapist is asking me to do this. In fact, she's kind of pushing me to do this. And I'm like, I am not ready for this, right? But part of it is like, I told her straight up, like, I don't trust you. Why do you expect that I would suddenly trust you after 6 weeks? Like, I don't trust my husband. I've married him for 10 years. Like, sometimes I still reject him. I'm proud of myself for being like, no, I don't want to do that. And in fact, what I need right now is just kind of roll back. But when I'm ready, like, maybe I'll be game. But I do know that it's going to take a lot of me letting go of my own fears to enter into that process. And that is what therapy is. It's like, it isn't working because sometimes I am not ready. Like it's very scary or it's very hard. It's also very hard to trust a stranger with your secrets.
Years ago when she was a really good therapist because I really enjoyed our conversations. She asked me a very pointed question and like, it felt like a punch to the guts. Like,
oh, whoa. Those are good ones.
And I was like, I'm gonna.
That's when you know therapy's working really well.
Yeah. Well, you're asking tough questions and you're having to push yourself to come up with the answers, right? And you're like, let me dig deeper to figure this out. But I what made me think of that is like where right now, you know, your therapist may be saying, let's try this. It speaks to also maybe having rapport and recognizing that you may be ready to go to the next step. Cause they're recognizing that you've increased your strength, your resiliency. And as the individual receiving therapy, you're like, oh, no, not yet. Right. But it also helps to have that therapist that will kind of push you along, right, out of your comfort zone where you've existed for so long to then say, maybe I am ready.
There is one other situation where I know therapy doesn't work. And this has been for me and for my clients where talk therapy or any form of psychotherapy runs up against clinical or biological mental illness. It's like you can talk yourself in circles, but if what I'm dealing with is clinical depression, like brain-based illness, I need meds. I can also work and practice on my anxiety, but it's okay also to be like, okay, I also have a biological problem that I can go find biological based solutions. And the combination of both is what gets me through. Anxiety is hard because I feel like there are a lot of breathing and things I do to like be functional. And that's why my therapist is like, try EMDR, because you will literally retrain your brain to decrease your anxiety. And that's like a biological training protocol. But with depression or psychosis and schizophrenia, like getting rid of the voices, like, you know, you can talk to yourself all day, but if what your brain and your body needs is medication or a biological approach, that's no therapy is going to overcome that need, that biological need possibly, right? Like,
yeah, I think that's
it's a consideration.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times people think, I'm going to go to therapist, find a therapist, and I'm just going to feel better. I'm just going to feel better. And, you know, 6 months down the line, it's like, do you feel better? It's like, not really, you know, like, it's great. I get to see this person. We have a lot of rapport, but I don't really feel any better. Yeah. And that's when you have to consider, are there other options out there where you're talking about medication and things like that?
Yeah, my benchmark for timeline is like 3 months. Definitely have been checking in a bunch on how things are doing. Are you feeling better? What's working, not working? And then by 6 months, if you're like, things are really not working by then, I should have asked clients, like, tell me more about what you think. Is there possible? I mean, education needs to happen at the front end. So if you have a sneaking suspicion that something is biological, if your therapist hasn't asked you, which they should, you want to start thinking about that by 6 months, latest a year. You're like, by then I'm a year in, I'm on different medication options. And then working with my client's psychiatrist to help figure out what I see and what we think is going on. Mm-hmm. And this is especially important for people who have multiple diagnoses. Like, is it depression, anxiety? Is it ADHD? Is it bipolar disorder? Is it psychosis? Like, it can be sticky and complicated. So the best case scenario in those moments is to have a team, like a therapist and a psychiatrist, helping you figure stuff out.
Yeah. It's very interesting where we've kind of come to. One of the things that I would like to mention is this idea of, how do I know that, you know, we've talked a little bit how we know therapy is working, but how do you feel when you're ready to say, I've had enough, it's good? And this goes to the next point, right? In my experience, it's where I can have a conversation with the therapist, and instead of really talking about the stuff that I've been dealing with, I'm like, did you watch the news? Have you seen this? And it's more of a conversation that you'll have with a friend, you know, instead of like the work. And that's when I'm like, oh, we reached the point.
We're done. But that's different than it's not working. Yeah. That says to me, we finished. We're comfortable. Well, that's not true. Some people are like, oh, how was the weather? How was this week? Because they could just do that and stay at that surface level forever.
Yeah.
And it's because you nor the therapist is really pushing you to unpack stuff and be like, well, why are you really here?
Yeah. It's like, we can all talk about our favorite ice cream, but tell me what's going on.
Forever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's tricky because you're like, oh, am I not working through things or am I finished? Mm-hmm. How do you know the difference?
When I feel, I was going to say contentment, but it's not contentment. When I feel more at balance instead of kind of feeling off kilter.
Agitated. I'd say the same. If I could go into therapy and be like, I'm okay. Like, oh, I'm okay. Versus irritation or choking. Like, there's more work to be done when you're doing choking or screaming. Ah.
Yes, thank you for all that.
Versus, you know, getting to the point where you're like, you know what? I'm good. Like, we're okay. Mm-hmm. I'm good. I'm going to roll back. I'm going to cut back, or I'm going to cut it off entirely.
So what would you say to people that are in this place where they're thinking to themselves, is this really working for me?
I would say it's been very helpful for me to brainstorm with friends and just have that extra point in there. I when I feel like I have a barrier with a therapist, I almost always go to a couple friends to be like, tell me what, especially if my friends have been in therapy. That's helpful, right? I don't go to my friends who've not been in therapy. I go to my friends who've been in therapy and I'm like, let me tell you what happened. And they'll be like, you know, you can do this. Or they'll be like, you need to run to the hills. I would say, I wish I could say to my younger self what you said, which was really hard, which is don't accept staying in a bad relationship for longer than you should. Like, we already do that with boyfriends and girlfriends and partners and, you know, parents. Like, don't make your therapist the same thing, you know, but also having compassion that it is hard. And that's why having a friend to help motivate you to do that breakup with your therapist should be easier than it is to break up with your parent or break up with your partner, right?
Yeah. So one of the things that I think would be important is to recognize that when we speak about these issues, we're really coming from a place where we're saying there are a wide range of therapists available. And I believe that to be true in some capacity. But I also recognize that when I'm struggling and I really do need therapists, and there aren't that many. There aren't that many that fit all the boxes, right, that mm-hmm. I want. Or my insurance doesn't pay for all this.
Yeah.
And I can only go to therapy once a month.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes.
Then I might have to just stick with the sucky therapist for a while because it's something better than nothing.
Yes. It's so true. You're bringing up a really good point, which is that there's no one person that ever fits the mold perfectly. I do think that therapists can come in and out of your life. And the therapist that I had when I was young might be a horrible therapist for me when I'm older. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I've looked at therapists. I'm like, what do I need today? Do I need to work on mom issues? I'm going to find a therapist that looks like my mom. Do I need this? You know, that's been an interesting. And yeah, that was a thing that I learned over time to say, maybe it isn't working because the therapist, I didn't pick the right qualities for what I needed to want to get to. And it's a place of privilege to be able to pick and choose in that way. But it helped a lot because I found that it's part of the homework I had to do to begin the relationship. Like, if I had the opportunity to do a little bit of that own homework myself before selecting a therapist, it saved me a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
And then if you have general issues, like, most therapists should be generally okay. But if you have identity issues, if you have if I had an issue that was an identity issue, like a cultural issue, I found that it was worse to go. I had to go figure out which therapist I needed. Did I need someone that looked like me, or did I need someone who was sort of like my culture and understood it enough, but was not in my culture because mm-hmm. it would be too weird? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah, you know, you're speaking of a
whole other level of complication.
Yeah, I think we have to be completely honest, right? Because we are coming from a place of complete privilege where we're like, you may have insurance, therapy is expensive, you know, and I just think about the issue, like, if I don't have any other options right now, and I know that I have to speak with somebody, what can I do to make the most out of this? Mm-hmm. That in the long run will be a good thing.
Well, even when you're low income, there are a lot of clinics that have many therapists in their clinics that serve low income families. And if you don't like your therapist, even if you're a low income clinic, you should be able to advocate for a switch. I was a therapist that worked in a clinic of 7 therapists, and I would regularly rotate people in or out of who I was working with because like I said, I asked and we would move people and help people find someone they jived with. Like, you have good vibes with that person. The other thing too, I would say is, like, that's where telehealth is interesting, because if you pay, you know, X amount of money per month, you could technically do a lot of therapist jumping. Mm-hmm. So, you know, get the some amount of money that you can to do that and try and really find a therapist you can work well with. And same with warm lines, which are free. It's like, if you don't like that person, you know, with a warm line, the next time you call, you might get someone new, or you can call a different warm line and get someone new. Mm-hmm. Which is practice for how to figure out, whoa, this is what comes up in my feelings when I talk about this issue with this ex person, and all of that is a learning process. Disclosing, telling your secrets is a thing. Like, it's a thing that you have to work towards, because we are trained to shove our feelings and hide our secrets. So if you do it and you practice it with a warm line where it's free, you'll carry those same skills to a group, to another warm line, to another therapist. And those are all free services.
Well, you know, the telehealth option, it has helped a lot, right? Get more access to folks. But I don't want people to walk away thinking, I don't have any options because of X limitation that I may have. There are ways to work around it. But at the core of what our conversation is, it really requires for you to be prepared to do the emotional labor to move through this process and find somebody that is going to help you with that emotional labor, not just by providing suggestions or whatever, but helping you define what that is supposed to look like 2, 3, 5 months down the line.
All right. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Keep on fighting.
Bye.